Hey there, humanoids. This is David Shoemaker here with a very exciting announcement. Your favorite wrestling podcast feed, The Ringer Wrestling Show, is now going daily. And you can hang out with me and Kaz on Mondays and Thursdays for The Masked Man Show.
And you can join me, Peter Rosenberg, alongside Stat Guy Greg and Dip every Tuesday with Cheap Heat. And on Fridays, I'll welcome a friend or special guest from the world of wrestling.
And on Wednesdays, we have a very special new show called Wednesday Worldwide that you're going to want to check out.
Pay-per-view reaction, one-of-a-kind interviews, fantasy booking, talking about bagels. That's what we do here on the Ringer Wrestling Show.
Follow the show now on Spotify and do us a favor. Give us 5 stars.
And do us another favor and stay mage.
This episode is brought to you by Pure Leaf Iced Tea. Go beyond reality with new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea and discover a berry delicious world bursting with unexpected blackberry flavor. A world so full of refreshing blackberry iced tea that you may never want to leave. But there's always time to linger. Try new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea. Visit amazon.com/pureleaf and enter 20 Pure Leaf for 20% off your purchase of new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea.
Welcome to It Was All a Stream. I am Chelsea Stark Jones here with my good old friend Zach Peter to talk Real Housewives of Miami, season 5, episode 10. The title is lacking for me. Diamond Rings and Rumors. Very uninspired.
Yeah, very uninspired. I mean, I feel like I hate when we get to the mid-season because then that's when like everything just kind of starts to slump a bit, and I want the ladies to bring it for me.
Oh, yeah. It definitely slumped this episode, which I have noted in the outline. 10 minutes of a game night Gertie scene. Not what I needed.
Not even the boys wanted to be there. Like her own kids were like, we don't want to be here. We don't want to play this game. Like we don't like games. We hate this. We're, you know, we want to be on our own video games.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely dragged in the middle. It picked up a little bit towards the end. But I mean, I guess before we get fully into it, we somewhat mentioned this before we started recording. Not too much news going on in the world of Real Housewives of Miami, but our girl, actually, she's not my girl right now. I'm very upset with her. But Larsa has gone ahead and made it Instagram official with her boyfriend or friend, whatever she likes to call him at the moment, Marcus Jordan. She posted a picture of the two of them. She's in some short denim cutoffs in a see-through black top. And it's the two of them posing in front of what looks like a flower installment of Marcus's father's Bulls jersey. So weird.
I feel like she's just doing it for the attention now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But like, she doesn't need to do these things for the attention. Like, if anything, like, she's probably the most press worthy on Real Housewives of Miami outside of Lisa. But that's just because Lisa's life is completely imploded. But I just feel like little things like this, like, I get it. You're trying to be like Insta official and like, we're cute and whatever. But like, I don't know. I feel like she's trying way too hard.
Way too hard. I mean,
and how does he feel about her selling feet pictures? Like, is that what do you do when your partner like has an only, like now I'm questioning a lot about their relationship.
If you met her while she was doing the feet pictures, then like you obviously accept it. But if you dated her and then she started doing the feet pictures, I could see where you could have some conflict there. But they're in a shoe store and...
Well, not unless like you're like trying to bring in some extra income for the household. Like you're like, let's, you know, let's sell, let's, you have nice feet. Let's put them on OnlyFans and let's make sure we can have fancy dinners every Friday night.
Yeah, he's her foot pimp.
There we go.
But yeah, it definitely does seem like it's something for attention. They could have posed in front of literally anything else. And I'm sure they have plenty of nice photos together, but she chose to post the one with his father's jersey, in which she was married to his father's teammate. Like, he was the Robin to his Batman. And now she's dating the son.
Do you think that she's had these conversations with Scotty about dating Marcus?
Well, she was asked this on Watch What Happens Live, and she said that Scotty and her don't really talk. So,
because like that has to be awkward.
It's definitely awkward, and she definitely doesn't need to ask him for permission. It is her ex-husband. or run it by him or whatever. But like, I would think there should be more conversations with her kids than with Scotty. Like this, it's weird. It's weird.
It's very
especially
weird.
The older one. Like it's strange. I don't like it. But Larsa is the villain of this episode this week. And I would say my most disappointing housewife in this episode was Alexia. She really, really upset me.
Yeah, I was just like, I mean, I don't even understand what her loyalty to Larsa is in this episode. I mean, especially given that she had like some nice moments with the charity event and with, you know, obviously the struggle with her son. Like we saw the flashback moments of that. So I just feel like, you know, she has moments where she can really redeem herself. Mm-hmm. But I guess very similar to like Teresa Giudice, she just loves to, you know, continue to sink herself deeper. And now I understand the comparisons that people have, not just between their physical, like their physical looks, but also just like their decisions and botched logic.
Yeah, extremely botched logic. It does feel like the OGs are sticking together in this feud and picking sides, even though it's completely obvious Nicole is in the right here. But let's just jump into it. The episode picked off exactly where we left off last week with Larsa and Nicole in this very heated exchange for no reason whatsoever. Did not need to go to where it went. But Larsa went ahead and threw out the accusation that Nicole is sleeping around with doctors at her hospital, or that she has slept around or whatever. I'm curious, Zach, do you actually think she heard this, or she literally made this up on this in the moment?
I mean, it's easy to hear stupid. Like somebody can make a silly, stupid, flippant remark that's like, oh yeah, I'm sure she's banging everybody at the hospital. And then Larsa can technically say, well, I heard somebody say that you sleep with everyone at the hospital. So I feel like it was, if anything, it was probably like a flippant comment, a joke or something maybe that Larsa took out of context. I highly doubt there are rumors around that Nicole has slept with everybody in the entire hospital. Cause like Kiki said, like who has that kind of time to sleep with everybody in the hospital? You have lives to save.
You have lives to save. And, you know, I really appreciate Nicole in this moment. She did seem like really taken aback by that accusation, but she did stand up for herself. And she, you know, told Larsa how disgusting rumors like that could be. And my whole thought, and I've been trying to think of the nicest possible way to say this, is Larsa just isn't that bright up top with her comebacks and whatnot. When she is backed into a corner, she doesn't fight with like, she doesn't have a sharp-witted tongue. She doesn't have, she can't like break you down with her words. She just has really low-hanging fruit rumors that she could just sling at you that hold no weight. And when she's going up against someone like a Nicole, who is educated, who is smart, who is clever, as we'll see later on in this episode, she just freezes and resorts to such a stupid rumor. It blew my mind. And she did it with Lisa about the mortgage thing, even though Lisa totally
does
went
have
a little
mortgage
too far
and probably does rent her house. Yeah.
But it's just like, why go so low? And I think it's because she can't articulate and fight with her words.
I agree. I don't think she's very intelligent when it comes to sparring. I just don't think that's her strength. Listen, pretty people usually aren't that bright. That's why they're pretty, especially when you buy a body and a face like Larsa's. She looks great, and that's why she's on OnlyFans and not writing books. So I kind of feel like, you know, she shouldn't insert herself into situations like this, because then she just looks bad, and then someone like Nicole is going to come in and obviously set her straight and be like, you look like an idiot. And you can even see, you know, when Nicole finally fires back, like Larsa was just so caught off guard by it and didn't really have anything to respond, because she isn't that bright when it comes to you know, fighting.
Do you think she underestimated Nicole? Like, we've seen Nicole as someone that, you know, she seems really nice and sweet. We kind of saw her last season, I felt, get blindsided in the Hamptons. But do you think like Larsa kind of thought she wouldn't stand up for herself in that moment?
I think she saw Nicole as somebody that's new to the group, because Larsa kept saying like, I've been here for a while. I've known these women for over a decade. And so she kept like throwing that out there, which tells me that she doesn't have a ton of respect for the newer women that have come on the show. When it's like, she also hasn't really been friends with these women for over a decade, because she was like briefly friends with them and then didn't talk to them. And then like became, you know, a Kardashian star fucker. And then now, you know, is coming around and sleeping with her ex-husband woman's friend's son. Yes. So, you know, she doesn't have the best credibility, but I feel like when it comes to Nicole, she just didn't think that she would actually come that hard. I just don't think she thinks things through. I think she's just in the moment. She wants to take a cheap shot because it's going to make her feel good. And then it always comes back to bite her in the butt.
Yeah, I agree.
The big Brazilian butt.
Her big butt, yes. You know, eventually the ladies kind of gather around and they see the remnants of this fight. Alexia sees it from afar and is like, why does everyone always have to be fighting? But I don't know. I really felt for Nicole in that moment. I expected it to escalate a lot more than it did there. But you know what? Nicole's a classy lady and I'll give it to her. She knows when and how to use her words. And as you mentioned too, we had a nice moment with Alexia, a really redeeming moment for her this episode, talking about Frankie and just the challenges that they've had ever since his accident. And as I've mentioned before, like rewatching Miami. I just finished season two. I'm starting season three. So that season two is the season when Frankie had his accident. She wasn't a full-time housewife. And it is, you know, her strength as a mother is really admirable. And Frankie is just the cutest, sweetest. And so, yeah, that was a touching moment for sure.
I loved when he was like taking photos and all the women are like rallying him on and he's like, yeah, and he was, you know, living his best life, taking all the stardom in.
Yeah.
He's a cutie and, you know, it's sweet. And I think these are the moments where it's like, you see Alexia has a big heart and you see mm-hmm. that she can put things into perspective considering everything that she's gone through.
Yeah.
That's why it's so stupid when she chooses to, you know, do these dumb things on The Real Housewives.
Yeah. And just have the most ridiculous Teresa Giudice like takes for sure. And then as we said, you know, we got like a good 10, 15 minute stretch of really unnecessary home scenes with Gertie and her family playing that heads up game horribly. And then followed by another scene with Julia and her adoption, which was a little bit more compelling, but not exactly, just not someone I'm necessarily rooting for all that much. But, you know, Julia is still
she's boring.
Yes.
And like, have a baby and go away.
Yeah. Julia is still, you know, pursuing adoption. And yeah, good for her. I said yawn. So here we are. Now let's get
also,
to it.
Do we really think Martina wants to have a baby? Like, if we really think about it, like, we don't see Martina actively, you know, pursuing this adoption.
Yeah.
Like, much as we see Julia.
Is it a baby or is it like a young adult? Like, that's what I was, because I thought she
a
said
young
she
adult?
Wanted,
how do you adopt a young adult?
Well, like a teenager, like a preteen. Like,
oh,
I'm
thinking like a 20-year-old.
Sorry.
No. Like, how do you adopt a
like a preteen. At first, I thought that's what she was saying initially, is like she wants to adopt someone that's a little bit older. But then in last week's episode, she said baby. So I was a little bit confused. But nonetheless,
I kind of feel like Martina was just like, yeah, sure. Like, we can explore those options. But I don't think Martina really cares, nor does Martina really want to have another kid. And Julia is just taking us on this journey. Yeah, I don't know if it's, you know, blissful ignorance of like, I just want to pretend that this is a real thing, or if she really believes that this is a real thing. I don't believe they're actually going to adopt a kid.
Well,
I really don't
think it is, and if it does, you know, if they do follow through with it, it's more for Martina to be like, well, here, now you have something to do when I'm away all the time. You have someone to exert all your love onto. Because I don't think she's going to slow down with what she's doing. She's still going to do TV appearances. She's still going to ski in Aspen. She's still going to do all the things that she loves. But now she could be like, well, you have the baby and you love the baby and you're occupied and you don't miss me so much. So I'm happy if you're happy. Like, you know,
or adopt a 20-year-old and then they can go skiing with us in Aspen.
Exactly. But on to what I would say is probably the most, this goes up there in Housewives, like pure pettiness that I just love. Nicole really took us there. She did the damn thing with this. So Gertie is visiting Larsa at her, you know, sky high apartment. And I guess just to like hang out and talk. But coincidentally, Nicole had a package ready and delivered for Larsa. So as these two scenes are going on, they're simultaneous. So Gertie and Larsa are together and Nicole is at dinner with her fiance, Anthony, who, what's your take on Anthony? He seems to have some pretty catty catty remarks for a house husband.
I mean, we're seeing a lot more of his personality. I don't know if I really feel any type of way towards him, to be honest. I think I really like Nicole, and I'm probably giving him a pass because I really like Nicole.
That might be true, but I saw some people kind of up in arms about Anthony, providing commentary and these in the women's issues and comparing him to a Peter Thomas of Real Housewives of Atlanta, which I find to be an unfair comparison.
Bit of a stretch.
Yeah. We have yet to see Anthony confront these women and be petty to these women to their face.
Or like an Aaron Pfeiffer's, Denise's husband. Remember when he would like fight with them and get in there with them, then drag Denise out and grab her hand.
He's not doing that. So far, we're just seeing him talk to his wife about drama that she's experiencing
and have opinions.
So I'm not going to go there and put him in the Peter category quite yet, but maybe he is trending in that direction. We'll see. But Nicole's talking, they're talking about their engagement party. She's been juicing all week. I know that life girl, been into her tiny itty bitty white dress. And she does say that she invites her father to this engagement party, but no plus one. So she's nervous about that. And then she goes on and starts talking about the accusation that Larsa spewed out and how she says she can't get over it. She thinks it was hurtful and reckless. Larsa has no boundaries and will say anything and do whatever to deflect off of herself, which, yeah, I mean, we've seen it.
Yeah, Larsa has no moral compass and she has no sort of scale as to how far she's willing to go to prove her point.
Yeah. And Anthony's first big catty remark was, yeah, she doesn't look past her big fat butt. And, you know, I think Nicole sums it up perfectly. You know, she has zero respect for what I have accomplished because she has no idea what it is to work for something. The only things that she has done in her life has been on the backs of someone else. And then again, Anthony chimed in with literally. But yeah, I think that's a fair assessment of Larsa. Like, you know, right now she's saying that she's, you know, a boss. She bought her apartment or condo in the sky and all this stuff. But she was a kept woman for most of her life. And she was very proud to say that she was a kept woman.
How much of her money is actually her money that bought this house? Like, I know she's really well on OnlyFans, but it's like she does get money from Scotty.
Yep.
And the thing too that makes me like kind of annoyed when housewives are like, oh, well, I make my own living and blah, blah, blah. Like Lala Kent, love Lala Kent. But like, I remember when she was like, you know, Randall pays my rent, but like my business is all my own money that I invested into it. I'm like, but you don't understand how having your rent covered gives you the ability to invest in a business and how, you know, even if Larsa isn't getting, you know, alimony, but she's only getting child support, the kids' expenses are completely covered and probably very well covered that allows her to then keep her little feet money and do something really exorbitant with it because, you know, she can afford a house like this because she doesn't have to worry about paying for her kids' school or paying for her kids' food or paying for her kids' extracurricular activities. So it's just that context I feel like a lot of people leave out. And I think Nicole's right. Like Larsa has always had things either handed to her or she's had opportunities and privileges that have afforded her the life that she has. And she doesn't often acknowledge that. Mm-hmm. And whereas you have someone like Nicole who's worked very hard for everything that she has and had no interest in being public. You know, she had a very good, quiet life with a successful, thriving career and a great husband that also made good money. And, you know, there wasn't a need to be on a television show, whereas Larsa, she needs to be public in order to keep making her money.
Oh, yeah, she's a thirst monster. And I second everything you said. It's hard for me to cheer Larsa on when this is how she carries on and represents herself. And I did say, like, I really did like her in the first couple episodes of the season. I thought she was funny and whatnot. But now it's just showing how ridiculous she is. And all of this is because Nicole said when she first met her, I didn't know if I felt comfortable inviting you to my home because I didn't know you. And for Larsa, that whole thing was just like an ego-driven like mindset of hers. Like, you didn't know me. You didn't Google me. You didn't know. Like, no, I legitimately did not know you personally. Like, we met one time.
On like a human level.
On a human level. Of course, I know who you are, but I don't know your values and anything like that. So for her to take such offense to that, that she would be able and willing to say, well, I hear that you sleep around with all these doctors at your hospital. Like, 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2 there. And it's really ridiculous. And so, Nicole, you know, Anthony asked Nicole, how are things now with Larsa? Where do you go from here with her? Nicole says, well, you know, the only way to move forward with this is to reflect it back at her. And then hard cut to Larsa getting the package at her apartment or condo. And it's a beautiful black package wrapped in a nice, dainty black bow. And Gertie is sitting there. And as Larsa opens it, she reads. And at first they think this is like a sweet, like almost like an olive branch is what they're thinking. Yeah. Oh, like she's Apollo or whatever.
I mean, the wrapping was nice. It's like, how could you not think this was going to be a nice gift? Like, oh, maybe it's a piece of jewelry. Maybe it's something that will help, you know, melt the ice between us.
I don't know. The fact that it was in black packaging kind of, you know, would have tipped me off to this might not be.
You thought the black packaging?
Yeah,
I just thought it looked
ominous.
Elegant. I was like, oh, this looks really nice. Like, what is this? How sweet.
And she opens it. And it's a mirror. And written on the mirror, it says, mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fake one of them all? Gertie's face said it all. She was surprised, shook, taken aback, all of the things. And then the rest of the message reads, take a good look at yourself, uninvited to our engagement party. Thoughts?
I mean, you can just see in Larsa's face, she was so taken aback by it. She was so embarrassed because yeah. They were filming in that moment and she knew that like this was a moment. She also like didn't entirely get it. Like, why are you sending me a mirror? Like, you could just tell she was like visibly confused, but she knew that it was a dig in some way.
Yeah.
And she just like was trying to understand it. And you can tell Gertie immediately was like, oh, this is like shots fired.
It was. It took Larsa. And like even Gertie had to kind of help her read it along too. Like she did not fully understand what was going on. And yeah, that is embarrassing to receive that type of package in front of somebody and in front of cameras nonetheless.
I loved it. I loved every single second of it. Send her another one.
So clever. Like we have seen it all on Housewives. We have seen binders. We have seen large printed out receipts. We have seen
bunnies,
so much. But to have like a cute little, and I'm sorry, it was classy. Like maybe not what she said, but just the thought behind it. Chef's kiss.
This episode is brought to you by Pure Leaf Iced Tea. Go beyond reality with new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea and discover a berry delicious world bursting with unexpected blackberry flavor. A world so full of refreshing blackberry iced tea that you may never want to leave. But there's always time to linger. Try new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea. Visit amazon.com/pureleaf and enter 20 Pure Leaf for 20% off your purchase of new Pure Leaf Blackberry Iced Tea.
Chef's kiss.
It was great. I would say it was classy. It was a formal disinvitation and it was also a little cheeky at the same time. It was very nicely wrapped. It was hand delivered.
Yeah.
I think it was definitely very elegant and classy.
Yes.
All around. Five stars.
Yeah. I mean, because what we typically get a text message saying you're not invited to
with the Tyler Perry quote.
Yeah. Or, you know, put it in the group message and embarrass you that way. But no, to do it in the way in which she did, I mean, bravo. I don't know if that belongs in the clubhouse or if it just, you know, needs to start its own Hall of Fame just based off of that alone. It was amazing.
How much you want to bet Lars is going to bring a mirror to the reunion and be like, here, Nicole, I wrote something on this mirror for you. She's going to do something stupid like that. Watch.
If she does, it's just not
going to
land.
She's going to try to have a moment and it's not
going to
land.
She is going to try. But again, maybe if she has someone behind her that could come up with something witty, but it won't be her idea alone. This was Nicole. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Larsa's better than Adriana
at the last reunion. She brought cookies for someone because she's like, here, you're hungry. Here, have some cookies. I'm like, oh my God.
No. So here's the big day, Nicole's engagement party. Gertie FaceTimes Nicole because she's still surprised by this disinvitation. And, you know, I thought this was nice. Nicole says, you know, I know you're friends with Larsa, so I didn't want to put you in the middle by telling you ahead of time. And I wanted to respect your relationship with her. But Gertie gets it. Like, Gertie's like, look, if someone came for my reputation and my job, like, this isn't just like, this isn't saying you have a mortgage. This is saying something detrimental to your career, and you could have your career taken away from you. So
yeah, it's breaking all sorts of codes of ethics.
Yes. So Gertie gets it. Julia is very happy to hear that Larsa was uninvited from the engagement party. And I mean, we don't finish at the engagement party. We're left on a to be continued, but Adriana is on her way to the engagement party with her date, the married guy, aka divorced guy, because he's coming with proof that he is no longer married. So we have that to look forward to next week, I guess, is him confronting Alexia with Adriana about the fact that he's an unmarried man. But we didn't even get to that because we're still stuck.
That's more Peter Thomas than Anthony.
Very much so. And even worse, because he's not really a house husband. He's just a house date, I guess.
Yeah. House date of a friend of.
Of a friend of. Yeah. Low.
He's no better than the pirate.
Pirate's iconic. This man is not iconic. But then we have Nicole. Her dad does come solo, but he is flirting heavily with Kiki. I love when you call me Papa, he says.
Ew.
No.
Ew. It's just like wiping his sweat off. He's so gross. I'm like, oh, can we like check him, please? Like, let him bring his girlfriend then at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it was very cringe. Alexia and Marisol, I don't know, had like a soft spot for him because they said he reminds them of the drug dealers in the 80s, which we know they loved them. So
yeah, we know that what's her favorite. Marisol is still hitting up guys like him to this day.
Yes. Yeah, so he's just a little drunk and around. And I kind of felt for Nicole because there were moments where he was definitely being weird, and you know, the time when he said, I want to tell you a secret or something like that, it was not going in a direction that was, you know, going to make her happy. So we did see some of that. And then also Marisol showing up in white to an engagement party. Nicole handled it well. She did,
but that was a big no-no. Like, anybody knows. I like how she was like, Marisol's had a few weddings. Like, she knows. Yeah. Hasn't she worn white enough?
Yeah. So, Shoy, and she was like, I didn't know it was cocktail attire. Like, you just, white to an engagement party? I thought that was tacky and rude, but I did think Nicole handled it nicely, unlike a Caroline Stanberry, who would have made it a whole thing within itself.
Or Heather Dubrow, who was so upset about the bow on the cake.
Yeah, so she was not trying to let anything get in the way of her really nice party. It looked like a lot of fun. However, as all the women gather, Gertie informs all the girls that, you know, Larsa isn't here because she was uninvited. And the women all kind of are shocked by this, I guess. I don't know why you would be shocked after what Larsa had said to Nicole, but Gertie informs them. Nicole comes over and sits down and says, yeah, I uninvited her. She's makes reckless comments, and I'm not the only one. She calls Larsa an arsonist. She strikes a match and throws it onto people. We see the flashbacks with Lisa and against Lisa and Larsa, Adriana and Larsa, Larsa and Julia, and now Larsa and Nicole. And she's like, I've worked too hard in my career to have someone come and try to take it away from me. And I'm just not going to stand for that. And that seems reasonable. No? Am I crazy?
No, I agree. And it's like, what is Larsa so mad about that, like, she didn't want to let her into her home? Like, I think it's a little silly to be like, I don't want to let you into my home because I don't know you when, like, you're on a show together and, like, you're connected. That it's not like you don't know them all together. That, like, I don't care. Like, people have parties and have people, strangers in their home that they don't really know. So I thought that that was a little dramatic. But I get where Nicole's coming from of, like, I think Larsa's overreacting to it, and to throw out an accusation like that. And just like, is she aware of the repercussions of this and how this could affect her career? Or is she just thinking she's taking a cheap shot that's like cheeky and fun? And maybe it's because Larsa doesn't have a career to lose, you know?
I think that's a big part of it, is where it's like, It's hard to fight with someone when they don't have anything to lose. You know what I mean? Because they're going to go low with you. And that's what Larsa mm-hmm. does. But what was shocking to me in that moment, and earlier in the episode, you know, Nicole brought Marisol over and asked her, was that wrong of me to say, like, I didn't know Larsa, so I didn't feel comfortable inviting her to my home? Marisol said, yeah, I thought that was a little rude. And then Alexia says the exact same thing. And it was bizarre to me. And I do think it could just be this like OGs sticking together type gang mentality where they're just not going to turn on one another, which I hate in housewife land, where you can't hold someone accountable just because you guys are in this like unspoken alliance. It's annoying as a viewer to have to watch you guys blindly support
make
one another and make
a
fool of yourself.
And Lars is not a real OG. She was on one season of the original three seasons.
Yeah. One season, and then she dipped out because of how awful she was in that one season. And so Alexia is holding down for Larsa in this argument. She's saying where there's smoke, there's fire. Like, where are you?
Dumb.
Where are you coming from with that?
Where's the smoke? Where is the smoke?
Just because Larsa said it, there's smoke? Like, no.
Yeah, I want to know, like, what guys are coming out saying that this happened? Who witnessed it? Like, mm-hmm. smoke is when there's something there. There's an inch, a crumb of something. There's literally no smoke here. Like, it's clear skies. There's not even a little bit of smog.
None whatsoever. And as we hear, like, as you mentioned from Kiki and some of the other women, it's like, this does not even seem within Nicole's character. So, no, there is no smoke with this fire. Like, there's just not. And Nicole starts to get very upset, and I can understand why, because even though Julia and Gertie and it seemingly maybe Adriana are on her side with this, with uninviting Larsa, you know, hearing Alexia and even Marisol, she doesn't chime in too much. Marisol doesn't, she doesn't get involved in the drama. She just is a bystander of it, which is a little bit frustrating. But I felt bad for her. Like, this is her engagement party. This is her time. This is her moment. And here these women are telling
women
her,
are
like, you
it.
Probably did sleep with someone if she's saying it. Or why do you care if she says that you slept with all these doctors at the hospital?
Yeah, like, if it's not true, why care?
Yeah.
When you know if it were one of them, if it were Alexia and somebody says, look at what it was when there were the allegations against her son, Peter, remember?
Yeah.
And she was very clear. These are allegations. These are not charges. You know, these are accusations. These are not, you know, that doesn't mean anything. Anybody can say anything, and that doesn't imply guilt.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, where's that same logic now? Is it just because it's not your family and it's somebody that you don't happen to feel any sort of allegiance to?
Yeah. If someone said that about Todd, made some type of accusation about Todd and his work and what he does, she would be angry. Because again, that's one, it's coming for your bag. And two, like, that's something you built really, like, that's your career.
Your character, your integrity.
And you're, especially as a doctor, the amount of years and money and debt that goes into that industry is it's tough. So yes, Nicole is rightfully upset. She gets in Alexia's face and says, you know what, when you feel like you fought for something and you worked hard for something and someone tries to take that away from you, then you could have this conversation with me. And that is kind of how the episode ends, on a to be continued. I was extremely disappointed in Alexia in that moment. I was also disappointed in Marisol. I've noticed through rewatching, she is not one to, she's not confrontational. All the stuff that happened with her and Leah Black, like, she never wanted to confront Leah about, you know, their issues. But in the season 2 reunion, she was so upset with Leah for saying all this stuff about her character when it came to her PR firm, and that she was losing mm-hmm. work for it. And she has women to support on her payroll that she's responsible for. So when you talk badly about me, that's a reflection of not just me, but my entire business. And the fact that she didn't see that in that moment with Nicole was so frustrating to me. Maybe it's because I'm just fresh on it. Like, I literally just finished season 2. I watched the reunion a couple nights ago, so it's like fresh in my head, but it's just wrong. And it's blind loyalty for no apparent reason.
Right.
Yeah.
Because if the roles were reversed, they would not be having the same attitude.
Not at all. And the roles were reversed with Marisol and Leah,
yeah.
You know, so, and she wasn't happy about it. It was the most animated, I had seen Marisol at that point. So, yeah.
Like, this is the point where you, like, you pull your girlfriend aside and you're just like, listen, I get it. You took a cheap shot, but, like, you were wrong in this instance. Mm-hmm. And I get it. Like, maybe you were upset with her. And I think what she did was wrong as well. But that didn't give you the right to make an accusation like that.
Yeah.
Like, throw out another cheap shot, but not something that affects her career.
Yeah. Completely. So yeah, we left with a to be continued. No trailer. I hate when we have to be continues and we don't get a preview for next week, but we'll be watching regardless. So
yes.
So looking forward to how and if this resolves itself, what we might see with Adriana and her boyfriend date. And yeah, maybe hopefully less filler scenes in next week's episode. No game nights,
please.
No adoption talk. No Brazilian butt things. Just give me the goods.
Give me, yeah, conflict resolution, drama, meat, theatrics, anything.
Yes.
And no more of these like dumb filler scenes playing heads up.
No.
Well, that was like Gertie's scene last week where he was putting on her spray tan with the latex gloves. Like, no.
Gertie's home scenes are not, they don't bring it.
And Gertie does bring it. That's why.
Yeah.
But her home scenes are just so awkward. And I get it that usually like a housewife's home scenes or their scenes with their kids are supposed to make them like more relatable and endearing. And I feel like they just make Gertie more awkward.
Yeah.
And she's strongest when she's on her own.
She's strongest on her own, or she's pretty strong in this group of women, even though sometimes she doesn't make sense. She's entertaining nonetheless.
Very entertaining. For
yes.
Sure.
Well, that's all that we got for Real Housewives of Miami. Looking forward to next week. I heard they're filming the reunion on Thursday. So I'm actually going to go tweet Andy with some questions for the ladies. Hopefully.
What are you going to ask Andy? Well, what are you going to ask Andy to ask the ladies?
I'm going to bring up this Marisol thing of like, why were you so triggered by Leah Black in season two? And you don't seem to understand why Nicole is upset now. Please explain it to me. Hopefully it gets read. We'll see.
Chelsea from Los Angeles wants to know.
Yeah, I would faint, but here we go. All right, Zach, this is fun. I guess I'll talk to you. I'll talk to you soon, but I'll also talk to you next week and we'll do this again.
Yes.
All right. Bye, guys.